The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Cleaning Nation. Good to see you. Welcome if you are live with us in the Facebook group or joining us on the podcast. This is the episode every week where we just ask and answer your questions. So if you have questions that you want asked and you want answered, or if you want answered, we want asked, just email Lindsay at Lindsay or support at growmycleaningcompany.com. Join the Facebook group, ping her, say, hey, we are here for you. That said, Lindsay, let's jump in. What are we talking about? Who can we help? Hit me with a question.
Yeah. So this week, I wanted to know, Cleaning Nation, what your number one question is about scaling your business. And we had such a great response on the Facebook post. Every week when I announce this broadcast, I put a little post in the Facebook group. So if you ever see that, feel free to put your questions there too. I'm going to start off with Troy in the Facebook group. He asked, how would you charge when bidding on a gym facility that wants weekly deep cleans?
Interesting. So we, so first and foremost, let me say, I don't say a lot, but periodically when we do calls with folks trying to help them scale, they get hyper focused or hung up on bidding this one job. Like, if you just help me get this one job. So I want to encourage you, Troy, and I'm going to answer the question for sure, but we really, typically when we get focused on this one job, the real problem is not that we're going to get there or not get this job. We don't have lead flow, right? We don't know how to get leads coming in. So it's like, oh my gosh, this is a big job. I only get one of these every 2 months or every year. And it's just, there's never a right answer to build a real company based on one guy. Because here's the problem. Say you get the job. Well, now that person, if it's a huge job for you, controls a good bit of your revenue, and you've got to hire and scale up and make a bunch of overhead and everything like that. And if you don't know how to get new jobs, as soon as they quit, now you're like, oh God, what happens if they quit? Because you're worse off than you were now, because now you don't have that job, but you don't have all overhead and employees. So I would encourage all of you guys and gals, don't put too much emphasis on a single job or a single interaction with a client. Like, oh, I don't want to call the guy. It won't be perfect. I'll screw it up. Like, this is a long game we're playing here, right? And by long, I mean months, years, not, you know, like decades, right? So first and foremost, don't get too high. And the other thing is, people way overemphasize price. Like, just get the price perfect. Let me tell you guys, gals, I've been in business almost 30 years. I had a car dealership, construction company, obviously a cleaning company. So many bidding against other people type situations. I'll swear, man, I would do multi-million dollar bids. Like, these aren't tiny little bids. Some dude would come in at 3.8, another one would come in at 1.6. And you're like, what? I'm like, just insane, crazy number. So we put like all this emphasis on, if I just get the numbers, and you have to get the numbers right. Don't get me wrong. Like, if you don't have your system right, and by the way, we teach 45% cost of goods sold, but you want your general margin to be about half, right? So the short answer to Troy's question is figure out how much it's going to cost you to do the weekly. And I don't know if I'd really do weekly would be the minimum frequency I would take on commercial. And I'd certainly have a minimum of at least $500, probably closer to $1,000, $1,500, depending on how big my company was. But just figure out how much it's going to cost you and double it, give or take. Like, that's the short version. But we get all up into like, all right, it comes out to $1,170. That sounds really high. Maybe if I do, you know, $1,142, or what if I could get $1,300? Like, we want to just get more bids and understand your customer's pain and make sure that they know that you know it, and focus on really solving their pain and them understanding that you understand it and can solve it. And then the price really gets way more flexible, right? Most of the time we want to blame not getting a job on, well, that other guy undercut it. He, you know, the boss, you know, his cousin's friend had a dang. Da, 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 da. Really, we just didn't really understand the pain. We did some sort of nonsense about, well, how much cleaning do you need and how much square footage is it? And, you know, how much is carpet versus that? And how often? Just a bunch of questions that really didn't get to the root of what their problem is. And they didn't feel understood. And when they don't feel understood, all they can do is, if no one understands them, then they're going to pick the lowest price. God willing, there's a good salesperson in there that really understood him and articulated. He's probably like, oh my gosh, this guy gets me, can help me. And then he's probably going to go with that guy because either the price is going to be in the range. He's like, forget it. I'll just pay and get this thing fixed. Or he's going to go to the guy and be like, hey man, I can't do that. Can we do it? Either way, that guy's likely to get it. And so all that to say, you want your cost of goods sold to be, we coached to 45%, but around half, and half or less, not more. But it really is lead flow and understanding the problem. The perfect price is never going to get it. Understanding the problem will get you a lot more deals than even if you knew what everyone else's prices were. They're so crazy sometimes. Like, well, it cost me. I remember when I had my car dealership, I'd be at the auction thinking, all right, this car's, you know, I think I can get it for 23 grand and it costs $1,000 to fix it up and we can sell for 26.5 or whatever the numbers were. And some dude would pay 28. And I'm just like, what? It just, so even if I knew what everyone else's numbers were, half the time it doesn't matter. But the good thing in auction is in about 60 seconds, another car was going to come through. So it's not a big deal. So focus much more on quality lead flow and understanding the problem than getting your pricing perfect. Because guess what? If you price too high, you probably won't. Almost no one does. If you got lead flow, there'll be another one around the corner. And if you price too low, you can always raise prices later. So not, and again, I'm not advocating that pricing is of zero importance, but it's certainly not prime importance. Getting enough leads is number one. Understanding the pain and the problem, make sure you can solve, the person knows you can solve the problem. You know you can solve the problem is number two. And then really the price is just this fuzzy, yeah, I want to be in the range, right? You can't be insane, but you can be a little high, a little low, especially if they think you got them. All right, I feel like I've been ranting and preaching, but you set me off, Troy.
Well, you know, I think that's a really good thing to outline, Mike, because I see a lot of people in the Facebook group literally every day, like, oh, I have this huge bid coming up. And like, what do I do? How do I price it? It's such a common question. And you just nailed a very specific outline of how to not only technically do that in that particular instance, but how to think about it overall. So love it. All right. So next up, we're going to Pierre's Commercial Cleaning on a Facebook comments. He says, my niche is common areas of apartment units, but he's having trouble getting past the gatekeeper of these apartment units. How does he get past that gatekeeper, Mike?
Great question. And I've said this before on the podcast, but it's so important. It bears repeating. If I could have the perfect question and the perfect answer for my business, I'll take the perfect question every time. So Lindsay's question is actually a pretty good question. What's the number one question about scaling your business? I would probably phrase it a little differently. What's the number one thing holding you back from scaling your business, right? And getting a price right or learning how to get past the gatekeeper, none of those are bad things, and we'll talk about them. But I guarantee you that's not the number one thing getting in the way of scaling your business. Typically, the number one thing getting in the way of scaling your business is something you know in your gut. I don't know how to get leads. I don't know how to hire employees. I'm afraid to hire employees. And we know it, but we've tried it before, or we know what to do and we're afraid to do it, or we don't know what to do. So we kind of get stymied. And then we just ask a different question. Well, you know, it's easier, more interesting how to get past the gatekeeper. So I'll deal with that. So we're going to answer that. But really the quality of the question, so much more important than the quality of the answer, right? That's why in so many of these, I always answer your questions to the best of my ability. But I'll try and answer a question that was unasked that would be of more service. So getting past the gatekeeper, going to answer the question 100%. But if how many leads are you getting? How many of those are the gatekeeper getting in the way, right? Like, and I get a little chicken and egg, like, well, I'm calling 1,000 people, but, you know, the gatekeeper. Yeah. So I would really be like, let's really get some data. Like, how many people are you actually, how many inbound leads you're getting, and then how many outbound, because again, for gatekeepers, generally some sort of cold calling situation, right? So it actually has got to be, because if you're emailing, the way would be don't email the gatekeeper, get the guy's email and email him. If you're connecting on social, there is no gatekeeper. If you are doing direct mail, no gatekeeper. If you're doing Facebook ads, no gatekeeper. If you're doing a live event, you're only going to invite not the gatekeeper. So really, how to get past the gatekeeper. And again, I'm so sorry, Pierre's Commercial Cleaning. I'm assuming Pierre, you know, don't know, but Pierre, I'm going to just go take a swing. You're using cold calling. So a better question would be here. I promise I'm going to talk about the gatekeeper, but again, so many people, when I talk to them, I'm like, what's your goal? I want to be bigger. I want to be the biggest in the country. I want to rule the world. Right. And I don't want to set a goal because that's a cap. I don't want to cap myself. Said every unsuccessful person ever, right? Because what they're really saying is I don't want to be held accountable to any results. So if I just say some grand goal of being the biggest in the world, like who can challenge that, right? But if I say I want to be a $1 million revenue company in the year 2025. At the end of the year 2025, I either shall or shall not have been like, there's no challenge, either there is or isn't. But if I'm like, I'm working to be the best or the hugest, it's like, well, no one can say that. So I wouldn't start with cold calling, and I would start with my goal. And if you don't have a goal, start there. And again, such a frustrating thing, because people are like, I don't want to set a goal because that's like a limit. It's like, yeah, the goal Nazis are going to come kick down your door and start like take you to goal jail if you exceed your goal. Like, no one's stopping you from exceeding your goal. But if you don't have a target, right? Like, that'd be like me going to a travel agent, like, where would you like to go? And I'm like, east. And they're like, how far east? As far as possible. Like, is Mars east of here? Like, are we talking globally, universally, in our neighborhood? Like, that's impossible.
Hey, amazing people. You may have noticed we don't sell a dadgum thing on this podcast. We don't allow ads. The only ask I can ever have of you guys is if you dig the show, for you to spread the word and share so we can change as many lives as possible. Literally, it'll take you 5 seconds to give us a great review, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you as a listener and value the gift of your kind words. Now, back to the show.
Right, so be crystal clear on your goal. Once you get your goal, you realize you're not just looking for more leads, more leads, more leads, more bids, grow, 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 more customers. You can break it down, right? You know, if I want to hit my goal and my average customer is $500 a month and I want to grow, you know, $5,000 a month in recurring revenue, that's 10 new customers. And I know I get about half of my bids turn into sales, so that's 20 bids. And say half my leads turn into bids, that's 40 leads. Now I don't need to make a marketing plan that's just going to make me be a billionaire. I just need a marketing plan that's going to generate 40 leads. Super easy, simple, simple. And then I might go, all right, what part of that? And then you can start breaking it down. Do I want to do direct mail? Do I want to do door knocking? Do I want to do, you know, telemarketing? Do I want to do paid ads? So, and again, depending on your niche and your budget and your temperament, those are all on the table. So I would encourage Pierre's Cleaning, or Pierre, to first and foremost, get clear on your goal. Second, get clear on how many customers you need. And then third, put together a comprehensive plan that may include telemarketing, but I would not recommend exclusively telemarketing to do that. And let's say Pierre's like, I'll put together a plan, but it's only going to be telemarketing. So be it. So let's say you need 4 new clients, and you know, well, if I do 100 dials, I'm totally making this up, I get 30 conversations. And of those 30 conversations, I get 2 bids. And of those 2 bids, I get 1 sale. So I know every 100 dials, I get 1 sale. And if I need 5 sales, I will do 5. Like, it gets pretty broken down. So even if you're just like, hi, Lindsay, my name is Mike, I want to sell cleaning services, will you please buy cleaning services? Actually doing that with a plan that you have the numbers and test it will be better than all the gatekeeping stuff I can get you. So obviously skill is good, but I'll take unskilled within a system and a plan than highly skilled where I make 100 cold calls today and then none for 3 weeks and then 2 the next day and then 61 and then none for another month. And then it's all super sporadic. Or I spend all this time, you know, at YouTube University trying to get better at cold calls. And if I would have just made some goddamn cold calls, I probably would have done better than, you know, whatever. So to get past the gatekeeper, first of all, again, pick your niche. A lot of niches don't have gatekeepers. See if you can, there's lots of ways to communicate. It doesn't just have by phone. The only time there's really a gatekeeper is by phone, and phone should be, you know, maybe 10 or 20% of your marketing, not all of it. But to answer the question, it's the same thing. You're really making a sale to that gatekeeper, which is, I would like you to put me through to the boss or whoever I want to speak to. That's all. And this, you make that sale the same way you're going to make the sale to the boss, which is understanding what the gatekeeper wants and giving it to them. So the gatekeeper gets a bunch of 2 things. Normal people that have appointments or business with the boss that the boss wants to talk to, in which case they go right through. And people the boss does not want to talk to and do not have an appointment with the boss, and those people get shut down. If you say and talk like the second group, you will get shut down like the second group. If you say and do things like the first group, you'll probably get treated like that. So I'm not advocating that you lie or say you have business with the man when you don't, or the woman when you don't. But you can, if you look and sound like a salesperson, you're a salesperson, right? So what a salesperson might say is, hi, is this Lindsay? Hey, Lindsay, my name is Mike Camp of Mike's Cleaning, and we are the premier cleaning service here. And like, Lindsay's giving me the thumbs down before I've even told her what's going on. Just the energy and the patter and what I'm doing. She's like, I've done this 1,000 times. You, sir, are a salesperson, right? So I go for a pattern interrupt right off the bat, A, because it's a lot more fun, and B, because Lindsay's not had a pattern interrupt. So she doesn't know what bucket to put me in. So I might say, well, let's just role play. I don't know if we've done a live role play on a podcast in forever.
Not too many.
Your job, Lindsay, is not to let me through to Sven will be the guy I'm trying to talk to. He's your boss, Sven. Sorry.
I love how you picked a Swedish name.
Yeah, well, I just want to pick something fun. Yeah, well, Sven Borklund. if you're a fan of Lindsay in the show, you'll know why that's semi-funny because I mispronounced her name. All right, doesn't matter. All right, hey, so you answer the phone. My job is to get in. Your job is to gatekeep me. Let's go. You can answer the phone. I'm calling. Okay. I'm not going to do the ring ring sound effect, girl. If that's what you're waiting for.
Hey there. This is Lindsay's generic company. Oh, wait, I'm the gatekeeper. This is Sven's generic gatekeeper. I can't talk. This is Sven's generic company.
Hey, what's shaking?
Not much. How can I help you today?
Like emotionally or mentally or financially? Like, what are we talking? How much time do you have? What kind of budget? I got a lot of questions.
I mean, you called Sven's widget company, so I'm assuming you want to buy a widget from us. So yeah, do you need a widget or what's going on?
Can I be honest with you, lady?
Sure.
I know the right answer is yes. I would like to buy 1 million widgets today, please. I don't need any widgets. I don't have any money. If you want to hang up on me now, I 100% understand. Me and my counselor just go over it this afternoon.
Did you just say you're a counselor?
Yeah, I'm in counseling now because you won't sell me. You're trying to sell me widgets when I'm trying to sell you crap, and I need to work through that.
Well, what crap are you trying to sell me?
That was out of the role play, but I'm fine. I'm so bad at this, Lindsay. I have a janitorial company, and I call people, and they always tell me to piss off, and it makes me sad. So if I don't try and sell something, then I'm going to have to buy your widgets, I guess. And if I try and sell you something, you're too smart for me and you're going to freaking hang up and then I'm going to be sad. So I don't know, girl. I was just hoping you'd throw me a line here. If you were me and you were a pitiful and you're just trying to hawk some daggum janitorial services, what would you do? All right. So let me tell you what just happened. So
because I'm so bad at this.
That was great. You did great. Let me just tell you what happened. So it doesn't sound just chaotic. Like, well, you're just rambling and making no sense. Let me tell you what happened. And you're like, oh my gosh, I could do that. So I did a pattern, right? I forget what I said at the beginning, some silly thing about not having any money or not wanting to buy. She wants me to buy widgets. I don't want to buy widgets. It doesn't matter what the silly thing is, right? That wasn't true. The reason I did that, I had no idea Lindsay was going to ask that. It wasn't scripted, right? It was just me showing up. She might've liked me and she might've not liked me. Can't tell you. There is no universe she thought I was a salesperson. 0% chance she was like, this dude's trying to sell me something. Or if she did, she's like, this dude's trying to sell me something. I think I might want to buy it. Like, I'm kind of into what's going to, because again, she has drudgery all day. Yes, you can talk to Sven. No, you can't talk to him, over and over and over again. So what she wants is something different in her life. I'm providing that. So we did a pattern interrupt. She doesn't know what to think of me at the beginning, but she knows, god dang well, I'm not a salesperson, right? Of all the thoughts she had, this guy's trying to sell me something. I ain't one of them. Second, I got her on my side, right? I let her have a cause she could be down with. So what's comfortable for me is like, hi, this is Mike. I'm with Mike's Cleaning Service. We have the pre-merger because it feels good and it's safe and she'll hang up on me, but I won't feel hurt or I haven't put myself out there. I'm just being a professional person and she said no and we can just get on with that. When I'm like, I suck at sales and I'm trying to get some drum ups to janitorial business and nobody gives a crap about nothing and you're probably just gonna hang up on me. Do you know how difficult it is for her to hang up on me at that point? Like, nearly, either she's a psychopath, in which case, like, I wouldn't want to work with her, or she's gonna be like, oh my gosh, no, let me. And then I said, if you were me, what would you do to help me talk? Now she's on my side. Now we got a project we can do together. So you don't have to be as ridiculous as I am. For me, that's fun. And if I'm gonna do sales calls, I'm gonna have fun. And here's the trick, guys, gals. If Lindsay's the gatekeeper and she's having fun, the chances are she's gonna wanna help me very, very. So have a pattern interrupt. Do not sound like a salesperson. Get them on your side and give the person something a little more fun than hi, I'm the premier janitorial service comp. And again, it's okay if you don't get it the first time. You call again and I'm going to find out what she likes. All right, Lindsay, here's my deal. I'm not very good at selling. So if I just bribe you, you'll probably tell Sven I'm awesome. And then Sven will give me money. How am I doing? And again, she might, who knows, but it's just such a, it can feel uncomfortable because she could technically tell me to piss off or I'm a loser, but it's unlikely. she's probably going to put her virtual arm around you, like, all right, you poor son of a gun, let me help you through this. And then she's going to tell me how to sell Sven stuff. Well, he's in at this time and he's like this, and here's how you do it. And like, we can work together. So again, just, you have to solve her pain. Her pain is drudgery and not wanting to screw up by letting a crazy person, by letting someone that's going to annoy and waste Sven's time in. But when I just show I'm not that, like, she's enjoying the conversation. So she's like, I bet you Sven would love this dude. Cause guess what? Sven's a human too, right? So she and I can now conspire of how we can sell Sven some stuff. When I hang up, she's probably going to go, I know we get a bunch of Jamdoro calls, but this guy was so funny. You should call him. He's going to and I told him, and maybe she'll tell me that he likes certain kind of cookies from the certain store, and I bring him by and he'll be like, it's really not that hard. So pattern interrupts, find out what they need and do that. Ask for help. Don't sound like a salesperson. And if it doesn't work, call again. All right, Lindsay, I figured, you know, you guys are too smart for my crappy sales tactics. But if I called you again in 2 weeks and tried to talk you into it again, would that be okay? Very unlikely she's going to tell me to piss off, right? What if I brought you $3.39 American? Like, just random, like, just have some fun with it. Again, Lindsay, for those of you that aren't watching, is looking at me like, this guy is insane. But by golly, I'm going to talk to Sven. All right, Sven. I can't even get the name right that I made up. Or Sven, or whoever we're doing. Lindsay, do we have time for another? Or did I yak too much that we shot it just with the two we had?
Yeah, I think we just shot it. I'm going to save the two questions for next week because they're really good ones too. But yeah, love the role play and pattern interrupt. That's my big takeaway from that. Not expecting those questions or the $3.39.
When Lindsay's moonlighting at her telemarketing job, I am wildly confident she'll be 20% better. And guys, gals, we love feedback. So again, I love Lindsay's feedback, but she knows me and I know her. So if you've got, like, I love the role player, this is super helpful. Or I like when Mike doesn't answer the question or answers the question, but answers it. Or I don't like that. Give us a feedback email. You can email me, mike@growmycleaningcompany.com, support@growmycleaningcompany.com. And if you need help, more importantly, guys, gals, the big thing, I know we talked about a lot of fun, silly stuff. If I was going to take something away from this, it would be, ask the right question. Like, even if I spent a week really thinking deeply about what's the number one thing keeping back from cleaning my company, and I really get crystal clear on that one question, and I could just answer that question, I think you do a lot better than if you suddenly got perfect at pricing, perfect at getting past gatekeepers, but you didn't. What if you're perfect at those two things and you found out neither of them were holding your cleaning company back? And I can guarantee you, having coached thousands of owners of cleaning companies, getting perfect at being a gatekeeper and pricing perfectly are good things. They're certainly helpful, but those, never once in the thousands of people we've served has someone been like, I'm really struggling. I'm at a plateau. I can't get more revenue. We teach them how to get past the gatekeeper. Boom, $1 million business. We teach them how to price perfectly. And again, these are boxes that need to be checked, right? Like, I would even put these, you know, people come in with insurance or workers' comp or having a business bank account or credit card processing, or these are all contracts, right? I gotta have a contract. These are all fine things to have. I'm not knocking any of them. But not one person has said, I was struggling in business and I got my liability insurance, and by golly, am I rolling in it, right? So I want to make sure we're not majoring the minor. Don't learn how to climb a ladder real fast only to realize the ladder is against the wrong wall. So if I were you, take lots of time to think of, answer that question. What's the number one thing holding me back in my business? And if you need some help figuring out the answer to that question, asking better questions, reach out to us. Like I said, you can even email me, mike@growmycleaningcompany.com. We're pretty good at helping owners grow. See you, Clean Nation. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.